It's Brian Hayes, the host of Overdrive. Hazy B, how's it going?
Good, boys. I don't mind waiting. I mean, I don't mind. Listen, I got to be consistent here. I make people sit and wait on hold while we're finishing off a take or finishing off a conversation. So it's all good. I mean, I got to play by the rules that I've created. So it's good, though. Thanks for having me on.
As always, I mean, anytime a monumental, you know, something happens within Leafs Nation, got to have the guy who's got the pulse on the show. And Hazy B, last night, Austin Matthews, first Leaf to ever take home the Ted Lindsay, first Leaf since 1955 to bring home a heart. My question to you, though, is like, did it lose its luster a little bit, or was it still as special as you thought it would be? Or because, you know, he's been out of sight, out of mind for so long, it was kind of like a, oh, cool. How'd you feel about it?
Yeah, it was, I mean, let's be honest, anything associated with the organization, including Matthews, you get to the playoff conversation pretty quickly. Like the fact that they lost again and they haven't gotten out of the first round in 6 years, and he's had an unbelievable 6-year career, but we can't get past, or you can't look past the reality that they haven't had any playoff success. And the fact that it has been over a month with him out of sight, out of mind, it did kind of creep up on us a little bit. I don't love the idea that they wait until the cup final because of the nature of what we witnessed last night. The fact that the guy who wins the most important hardware hasn't played in a month and a half. But what comes with, you know, the Ted Lindsay, the heart, and 60 goals, like, this guy established three things. There has been a heart winner in the past, or an MVP, but it's been a long, long time, 67 years, I believe. There's never been a Ted Lindsay winner, like he pointed out. But there's also never been anyone that hit 55 goals, let alone 60 goals, which was a monumental achievement and one that everyone got to enjoy. And I think the fact that he did that with the Ted Lindsay, with the heart, makes it such a memorable season, regardless of what happened in the playoffs, because he established something else that had never been done. I think you just have to marvel at the guy. He's just an unbelievable player. Leaf fans are incredibly lucky that he gets to play in Toronto, that he's in Toronto. But it's a regular season award. You know, like, it is something that should go without saying. But as you guys, I'm sure, have experienced the last 24 hours, when tweeting about Matthews or talking about Matthews, people around the league, fans around the league are going to say, but hasn't won in the playoffs. Which, again, you can't fight. You can't argue. That's a fact. But in terms of a regular season, it might be the greatest of all time for the Leafs. It may be the greatest, certainly, in the modern era. The only one I can think of would be the Gilmore year in 93. And I think what would push Gilmore a little bit further ahead of Matthews is what happened with him after the regular season. The fact that he took his team on his back and dragged them all the way to game 7 of a conference final. So from like day one of camp until the handshake line, I think Gilmore in 93 is still supreme for me. But in terms of just game 1 through 82, I think you can make a strong argument that what Matthews just did is the greatest regular season of all time.
And Brian, I think when you read off the resume of accomplishments for Austin Matthews, it's hard to argue that it's not, that he's not the best Leaf player of all time. But I guess my question to you is, what needs to happen for him to become the most beloved by Leafs fans? Because I feel like there's still a little bit of luster around some of the older guys like Dougie and Sundin and Wendell, and I feel like Matthews isn't as beloved as those guys, despite the fact that he's had all these incredible accomplishments.
Yeah, I think the answer is pretty obvious, Frankie. We know what it is. It has to be playoff success. I mean, that's
right, but what's separated. That threshold? What's the threshold? Is it a round? Is it a conference finals?
No,
is it multiple years?
Like, I think it's multiple years. It's likely somewhere between getting to a cup final and multiple years of multiple runs. And like that, it's one or the other. He's got two paths. Like, if next year they get to just a cup final, that's something that no one else has achieved in the last 55 years, including Gilmore and Clark and Sittler and Sundin. So if he gets to a cup final, and he's obviously going to be the face of that team and the guy who's kind of leading the charge, then I think that would surpass him. And I think if it's not going to be getting to a cup final, then it's got to be multiple years of success. Again, which happened in the early 90s with Gilmore and Clark, happened multiple times with Sundin. In 99 and 02, they got to a conference final. It seemed like they won playoff rounds every single year. So it's one of two avenues. And needless to say, if there's a cup actually included in that, then it's just, you're arguing who's number two, And what that actually might do is if they get to a cup final and win one, it might drag Marner into the conversation of number two. And then you might be talking about who's number three and four, et cetera, because it would be such a significant achievement. But I think during the regular season, he's as beloved, in my opinion. Like, I have not experienced a guy who has got that building hopping. I know the history of that building and the reputation of that building. But when Matthews is chugging on a Saturday night and he's scoring goals, that place is electric, and he's the one that's got people on the edge of their seats. So as much as Gilmore was beloved for different reasons, Wendell was beloved, Sittler, Matz, I think Matthews is right there, if not, you can make an argument, surpassing those guys during the regular season. But in order to be the greatest of all time, in order to be the most beloved athlete, maybe in the history of the city, and I think that legitimately could be within reach, it's got to be cup final minimum or multiple years of playoff success. And if he does that, then I think it's a lock. I don't think there'll be really any pushback.
In conversation with Brian Hayes, host of Overdrive, 119 first place votes going to Austin Matthews on the Hart ballots, just 29 going to Connor McDavid. Were you surprised to see such a wide margin for the Hart Trophy?
I was. I thought it was closer to a coin flip going in. I did kind of expect that it was going to be closer to a coin flip. But the fact that Matthews won the Ted Lindsay would suggest, I think it's accurate. I mean, I was advocating for Matthews to be the MVP. I thought he was worthy of the Hart. I thought he was the most dominant player of the season. And I think considering the fact that his cohorts, his players, his fellow players thought the same and voted for him, would suggest that I think that was an accurate analysis. But I think what McDavid is going to suffer from, LeBron James has suffered from, I think Mike Trout has suffered from, is there is going to be McDavid fatigue. Like, he has set the bar so high that now, in order for him to be back in contention, I think he needs like 150 points. You know, he's going to need a 50-goal season, or 55, you know, whatever it happens to be. And it's probably not fair, but LeBron, you can make an argument LeBron James should have won like 10 straight MVPs, you know, and yet you'd find one for Harden because he had such a great year and LeBron didn't have a career best season, or you'd find one for Russell Westbrook or whatever it happens to be. And I think that's probably what's going to continue with McDavid. The guy is, in my opinion, still, he's the best player in the world. He's the most dominant player in the world. I think Matthews is right there at either number two, three, maybe four. He's certainly in the top five, and anyone that's in the top five could put together an incredible season and win a Hart and a Ted Lindsay like Matthews did. But I think Matthews was worthy of it, for sure. He would have gotten my vote if I had one. I would have probably had McDavid at number two, but I think he'll suffer from the fatigue of greatness and setting bars so high that he may not be able to overcome them, and as a result, he may miss out on some more hardware.
And Matthews was talking afterwards a little bit about how he looks up to McDavid and he pushes him, and, you know, they go head to head a little bit. Do you think we could see something here over the next few years where it's like 1 year it's Matthews, 1 year it's McDavid, a little bit of back and forth between these guys? Or do you think one kind of takes over the other here going forward?
Well, I think it would be on Matthews to keep pace. I fully expect McDavid, if he's healthy, every year he's going to win the Art Ross or close to it. Every year he's going to dazzle. He's going to be the talk of the league because of who he is and what he's already created in terms of a reputation. So I fully expect McDavid's going to pull his weight. I think it's on Matthews to keep up, and I think the only realistic way he can is if he keeps scoring at an absurd rate, which he has done, and there's no reason to believe that will stop. Right? He's only 24. He's been in the league for 6 years. There's no reason a fully healthy Matthews can't score 65, and if he does, then you could have a situation where it's like Ovechkin and Sid, where they're going kind of back and forth. And Ovi had three Harts. He had more than Crosby. You know, I don't think Matthews will catch McDavid, let alone pass him. But I certainly expect if Matthews keeps scoring 60-plus, he will likely win at least one more Hart, if not more. And that's enough to keep you in the race. But you can't sleep on Draisaitl. You can't sleep on McKinnon. You can't sleep on Kucherov having an unbelievable season. There's just so many incredibly talented players. I fully expect McDavid to keep pace. I fully expect Matthews to keep scoring. But there will be a difference now with Matthews because of the bar that he set, where if he scores 52 next year, technically it's a down year because he set a bar so high, and it might go against him in a similar fashion to the way explained with the McDavid fatigue.
with Brian Hayes, host of Overdrive. Brian, Chris Johnson reported yesterday on Insider Trading that looks like Campbell may want north of $5 million, McKay between $4 and $5 million on the open market. If that's the case, you think these guys are as good as gone?
I think, yeah, Mikheyev will likely be gone. I there's a difference between wanting and actually getting, as you guys know. I mean, of course, you can want whatever you want. You can ask for whatever you want. But the market will determine what you're actually going to get. Mikheyev, that's I think it's been a foregone conclusion. He's probably leaving anyway. Remember, there were reports he wanted out. They gave him a ton of opportunity this year. And to his credit, he absolutely salvaged the opportunity. He had a very good year. And I think he's a good player. He's not a star. He never will be a star. I think he's a third line, more of a depth piece than a guy that you build around. And I don't think they have room for $4.5 million, $5 million for a guy who's going to be on the third line. In fact, we know that they don't. So if that is out there and he's seeking the top dollar, which he's entitled to, then I expect Mikheyev to leave. Campbell's the dicey one because of the nature of the position and also what else is available. Like the Leafs have really got to be delicate here because I know, you know, in a perfect world, you find a guy on the cheap who strikes iron or you know, and it just takes off and has a great season. But that's asking a lot. And, you know, you can't – if you cheap out on goaltending and then you get the wrong goalie, your season's effectively done before it started. Yeah. You know, like you need goaltending. It's the most important position. We're going to find out tonight. Vasilevsky and, you know, whoever's going in, it is going – the determination of that position is so significant. Goaltending will determine where every team in the league is going in the future. The Leafs are no different. So if they don't have a better option or if they feel like there's a guy who they can get for two and a half, but he's just simply not good enough, and they think Campbell can be good enough and you got to pay him an extra $2 million, I'm sorry, you got to pay him. And you got to shave the money somewhere else because you need goaltending. It has to happen. So I'm not convinced that that number completely pushes Campbell out. I think it pushes him towards, but I don't know if it's completely out until they realize, okay, we have better options regardless of the money because, yeah, the cap is going to count, but you've got to solidify the position. You've got to have goaltending. It has to happen.
Yeah, we'll see what direction Kyle Dubas and company decide to go in over the next month or so. We'll probably get that answer. Hazy B, thank you so much for joining us. Can't wait to hear you at 4 o'clock.
All right, Frankie, Al's brother, always great catching up with you guys. We'll do it again soon. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. There he goes, the legend. Brian Hayes, host of Overdrive.